people find it very easy to worship. And then there's other people that kind of like don't find it that easy to worship. And I pray this morning that out of this short time that we have together, and we're going to have a time of worship at the end, that something's going to shift and change in our lives, possibly from an element of understanding and what we hear, but I pray more so from a point of revelation of God's desire to engage and connect with us in and through worship, that something would shift in the area of our own worship. And so we're going to have a look at various aspects of worship this morning and what that means. And you are actually going to help me this morning work out what that actually looks like. And we'll come to that in a second. But this message today came out of, just turn into to Psalm chapter 4. So if you sort of go to the middle of your Bible, you should almost be there. So Psalm chapter 4. And this message today, this whole area of why not in the area of our worship, if you're visiting with us, we're coming to the end of a series called Why Not, and that is that we believe that, you know, why can't 2012 be the best year of your life yet? Why not? Why can't this be the best year of your life yet? I believe that God is committed to that God wants this to be the best year of your life yet. Not ever, but yet. There's going to be certain things deposited and built into your life this year that are going to help you and be a catalyst to go on and see all that God has for your life and for you to grow into the man or woman of God that he's called you to be. And one of the areas that I believe that we're called to think about and reflect upon and to be challenged by is this area of worship, that we're called to be worshipers. And it can be a little bit countercultural, but out of Psalm verse 4, chapter 4, verses 5, this verse jumped out at me and I kind of got stuck on it for a few days. And it says, offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Then it goes on and says, many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy. Everybody say greater joy. Who wants their heart filled with greater joy today? Greater joy. Joy. We'll hear some joy in the house. Joy. Joy. We want some joy because often our hearts get weary and heavy laden. There's stuff in life that comes and it's not joyful. But God says, hey, I want to fill your heart with a greater joy. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. I don't know about you, but I need some of that. That when they're grain, more than when their grain and their new wine abound, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And I think there's there's that verse there where that I started to reflect upon. It says, offer right sacrifices. And I don't know about you when you read the Bible, but I kind of like think, okay, there is an Old Testament context to that phrase that King David wrote. So obviously it had relevance to him, where he was in his understanding of connecting and relating to God. And I believe the principles of the Word of God transcend the time and centuries and are still relevant to us today. The Bible is just as relevant to us today as it was when it was written throughout the era and ages. And so I was asking myself, what relevance does this have to my life today? In what area do I offer up right sacrifices to God? Because as we reflect just briefly on the journey of worship throughout the Old Testament, and to be honest, we could spend literally months. And I know that, say, Troy and Cole and others in this room have lectured and taught on this area of worship. So I'm not going to do it justice in the sense of giving you a great expose on the theological depth and extent of worship. But just a brief overview, we have this concept in Scripture that God has his chosen people through the promise that he gave to Abraham in Genesis 12, that he would be blessed to be a blessing and the nations would call him blessed. So there's something unique about the relationship between Abraham and his descendants and this God who created everything and is the master and the ruler and the king of all, and that as Abraham and his descendants stayed in relationship with God and as they connected with God, that God's blessing and favor would be upon them and his presence would be with them so that they stood out and there was something different about them. And I believe the same should be true for us today. That we're not called to be, and I'm saying this a bit lately, but we're not called to be a subculture in society. We're actually called to be countercultural. We're actually meant to be motivated by a revolution of love, that we do things, if you like, in an opposite spirit the majority of the time as to what society would have us want to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense? And so we have, like, from the Old Testament, we have this relationship between God's chosen people and God, and God instituted certain things, and you see the majority of those through the book of Leviticus, and God unfolds his strategy, if you like, on how mankind can stay in relationship. And within that strategy, there is a whole bunch of offerings and sacrifices. Everybody say sacrifice. We don't like that word today, but it's biblical. And God said, look, these are the certain things that you need to do when you come before me so that you will be well-pleasing before me and these sacrifices to be acceptable and for us to maintain relationship. And a part of that is this worship experience. It's this speaking of and proclaiming the goodness and the greatness of their God. Now, we see that there's this sort of transition in the story throughout time, that the people got it right, walked in obedience, and they magnified and exalted the God of gods and the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and they did what they were meant to. And the abundant, incredible blessing and favor and presence of God and the protection of God with them went with them everywhere they went. And God even says in Psalm 22 verse 3 that I inhabit the praises of my people. When my people are in right relationship and they begin to praise me, when they begin to exalt me, when they begin to proclaim my name above every other name, when they proclaim that their God is the great and mighty God, that I begin to come and I begin to dwell. I begin to come and hang out. My presence is there with my people. And although there is these guidelines, if you like, if there are these rules and there's this law that the people had to abide by, there's this thread, if you like, this thread throughout Scripture that every now and then you sort of see that there is a deeper meaning than of worship than just going through the motions of sacrifices and offerings. You see in Hosea 6 verse 6, it talks about that those things of sacrifice and offerings is not just what God is really after. We see in other Psalms, Psalm 41 and Psalm 53, we see the offerings and sacrifices is not what you've required, but a broken and a contrite heart is the offering that is pleasing to God. And so we just see in glimpses at times that, you know what, it's not just about going through the motions. It's not just about going through the ritual. It's not just about fulfilling this sacrifice or that. But there is something deeper that God is actually after. And it's a very thin thread. And so we have this relationship with God and we see expressions of interest. And we'll come to that in a minute and you're going to help me with that. But then we jump to the New Testament. And again, we see this whole thread and theme of worship is still evident throughout the life of Christ. And we see that Christ comes and he says something pretty profound, that he says that he is actually greater than the temple. Because in the Old Testament, the people had to go to the temple to make their sacrifices, to be in right relationship with God. And then in the New Testament, Jesus says, I'm actually greater than the temple. And you could imagine to all the religious rulers, there again yet is another thing that they say, Jesus, you're a heretic. Who do you think you are to say that you are greater than the temple? And Jesus makes that claim in Matthew 12:6. And then he goes on to say that in John 4 verse 21, he says, neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall ye worship the Father, that they may worship him, they must do it in spirit and in truth. And so Jesus comes and he says, you know what, I'm doing away with all of these sacrifices and rules and regulations that you've got to go through to be in right relationship. He offers himself as the ultimate sacrifice. And he says, no longer is it through those things, through the ritual, it's now in spirit and in truth. And we're going to begin to explore that just a little bit. But now you're actually going to help me at look at why and how can we worship? Why and how can we worship? Why do we worship? And how can we worship? You're going to help me with that. So we're going to break up the room into quadrants, if you like. So if you're kind of like right there, Anthony, you've got to choose which way you're going to go, mate, because otherwise I'm cutting you in half, buddy. You've got to go. Pick a side. Pick a side. There you go. And probably just behind, just behind your row there. And so you guys are a quarter, you're a quarter, you're a quarter, you're a quarter. Okay? But we look at people worship all kinds of different things, sometimes without even realizing it. What about some of these images? I mean, why do people worship? A bit hard to see. Might need to drop down the those lights a little bit. But we see that people, you know, they will go to a nightclub and they are doing a lot of things automatically without even realizing it, raising their hands to the DJ or raising their hands to the band, whatever it is, and they are just like going and they are performing some kind of worshipful act. What about this one? Cricket, you know, people go to the hallowed MCG, you know, the holy turf, their church, the MCG, or in this case, I think this might be Adelaide Oval, I would assume. What about the next one? So people going today to the Grand Prix to worship the mighty prancing horse, the Ferrari, and, you know, they'll get all excited and they will yell, they will scream when, you know, like if Mark Webber wins, I'm sure people will not sit there and just go, golf clap. Jolly good, Mark Webber, jolly good. Jolly good show, old chap. You know, they're not going to do that. Somebody help me out. How do you think some of those fans of the Grand Prix, if Red Bull Mark Webber gets up from fifth on the grid to get up and win, how do you think they're going to react? Going to go a bit crazy. Okay, what about this one? All right, so Melbourne Cup. You know, have you ever thought about if there was an alien sitting from outer space and they looked down on Earth on that first Tuesday in November, or even grand final day, if you like, and they were sitting there and they would look at Melbourne and they would look at the MCG packed with all these crazy people and people all around the city and state and even the nation sitting around barbecues and watching this screen to watch some people in short shorts and tight shirts running around kicking a bit of pigskin leather around a grass paddock, and then they jump over to Africa and they see a whole bunch of starving people and they just go, wow, what are they doing? Ever thought of it like that? And same with a horse race. And they'd see all this money being exchanged and these hatinators, fascinators, hats and stuff like that on the park and looking glam. And apparently it is a word. I didn't just make that up. I got edumacated last year about fascinators and whatnot. But, yeah, it changed my life. What about this one? The stock exchange. Oh, yeah. Hey, I want some of that. People worship materialism. They worship money. What about this one? It's a bit hard to say, but that's actually C, but that's actually the paparazzi. Next one. Okay, the AFL. We obviously do things well in Victoria to get somebody like that to be the key act. If you don't know who it is, you've missed nothing. It's actually Meatloaf. Don't worry. He was actually the entertainment at the grand final last year. Next one. There you go. So a stadium filled with people going to church on their given day to worship. All right, next one. If you don't know who that is flying in there, it would be Lady Gaga, and people kind of like idolize and they worship these people and stars and whatnot. But you get the idea. I don't think there's any more. Was that the last one? Any more? Next one. Okay. So why do you think people worship? Help me out here. This is going to be a little bit interactive this morning. So if you're visiting with us today, feel free to shout out. You're most welcome to. Entertainment or hope? Sense of community. So a sense of belonging. Yep. Yep. So that, yep. We are created to worship. Yep. Anyone else? Love. Sense of love. Unity. So yeah, that sense of belonging in community. For some people, escaping what they're going through and try to attach themselves to, whether it be a fantasy world or some other thing, a non-reality to escape their reality. That got beaten by the Adelaide Crows last night in the NAB Cup final, I must. Thank you for bringing that up, Troy. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. For all the Adelaide supporters in the room. Oh, that's just me. Anyway, okay. But yeah, I believe there is something spiritual about what happens. As Jenny just said, like I think there is something within us. There is something within us that we want to worship. And sometimes we don't realize it, people don't realize it, but there is this spiritual void in our lives that firstly has got to be filled by God, but out of that there is something spiritual about our expression of that in an environment. And so this morning, as we worship, as I said before in Psalm 22, it talks about that God inhabits the praises of his people. that as we began to worship this morning, as we began to reach out our hands or sing and clap, and we'll come to that in a sec, but there is something not just natural about that. We don't do that. We don't sort of pump you full of a double shot latte before you come in to keep your eyes awake, and we don't try to have loud, fast music at the beginning to wake you up. There's actually something more going on than that. And it's about our expression of worship to God. But I believe that we're being created to worship God, that we're being created to worship, and people try to find a way to fill that space and void in their life through a lot of different ways. On the screen, what you're going to see is some scriptures. So this quarter here, just amongst yourselves or on your own, however you'd like to do it, but I want you to take the first three. So I want you to take that. I'd like the quarter behind there to take the next three. And what I want you to pull out from there for the sake of the rest of the people here today is why and how should we worship? It's not a trick question. It should be pretty obvious. And we could literally have hundreds of verses up there. But I just need you to maybe write that down so I can actually give the next one. What we might do is just slowly alternate between the screens if we can, Josh, just so people can. So if we go to the next one. You guys are going to have to, you back quarter up there, if you can take the first four, and you quarter here, take the bottom four. Does that make sense? Okay, so Josh will just change in between those two screens so you can keep an eye on it. But simply what I want you to do is try to draw out of these passages of why we worship and different ways on how we can worship. Is that clear? Yeah, great. All right, so I'm going to give you a few minutes to do that, so off you go. You can talk to the person next to you. You can form a little group if you like. Designate a spokesperson if you want, or you can just yell them out. If you haven't got a Bible, you can just share with somebody. So if you're a regular at Compass and you see somebody that doesn't have a Bible, then maybe you could help them out. I'm going to give you another 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Two minutes. 1 minute. So I'm on Facebook and I'm just sussing out who is on Facebook. Don't worry, I'm just finding out who's on. Okay, time's up. Want to keep moving? So we can have the first page up, please, Josh. Thank you very much. Isn't Josh doing a great job up there pushing buttons? Yay, go Josh. You're the man. Okay, group number one. What can you enlighten us with in regards to why we should worship or how? Don't all speak at once. You are bottom corner here. Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Ferris? Bueller? Very good. Was there a particular passage that you got that out of? Psalm 40? Yes. Yep. Yep. Psalm 51 actually says a similar thing. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Good. Anything else? Team? So why do we worship? Because of God's faithfulness. Can anyone in the room think right now of a time that God has been faithful to you? Can you think of just one time? Just one time. Very cool. You have a reason to worship. Right there, even if it's just one, you have a reason to worship. Anything else? Quiet group. Third and final call. We all done? Brings joy. The ones I'd like to get out of those first two as well is that, you know, David out of his psalm here of repentance, and he's remembering God's grace towards him of the forgiveness because of the things that he had done. That God had forgiven him and restored him. He had reason to remember, and he was very thankful about that. Okay, let's go to group two. Talk to me, please. Talk to us. Susan, talk to us. He is good. He is good. Really? Did everyone hear that? That's a radical thought. Josh is just like on the edge. Trumpets. Well, okay, whoa. No. We need to understand the context in which it was written. They had lyres and harps. We have guitars. We still have drums. I'm happy to have a brass section. That would be great. Love to have a brass section. That would be fantastic. But yeah, physical action though. Flags. Flags. I didn't read that in my passage of scripture at all. Oh dear. So we're... Who knows what Judah means? The word Judah means praise. And it was quite often in battle when the children of Israel went out. The tribe of Judah, out of the 12 tribes, the tribe of Judah was sent first. They would send praise out first to see that breakthrough in the victory. And so, you know, we'll come to that in just a sec. But it's a powerful thing. And it does require action. There's other things that we'll see if they haven't been listed already. But anything else?
I was just going to say, this is like
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yep. We hope so. They have. The neighbours have. And they love it, don't they? Mm. Yeah. Yeah, we try to do all we can, obviously, to respect our neighbours. But, you know, we make a noise. And for anyone who thinks heaven is going to be a quiet place, you're going to be very, very surprised. When you have tens of thousands of angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," they don't whisper in the presence of an almighty God. It's going to be quite loud and joyful and celebratory and victorious, a triumphant sound. Thanks, guys. Sorry, was there anything else? Moving on to group three. Hmm. Yeah, so that's why we should worship him. Great. Anything else in there? Yes. Yep, why or how? Why should we worship? And how should we worship? Group four. Singing, lifting of hands. So lifting of hands is not just some Pentecostal thing. It's scriptural. Some people think, you crazy Pentecostal, swinging from the chandeliers, you know, just all crazy, wacky. But no, it's actually biblical. And what does lifting hands mean anyway, really? Universally? Surrender. Surrender. Reaching out, yep, can be. A sign of surrender. I'm surrendering to God. Great. So there was clapping of hands, singing, heart of gratitude. Great. Excellent. See, that thread is in there. It's so in there. Anything else? Giving thanks. Yep. Yep. Excellent. Give yourselves a pat on the back because you have done very well. But yeah, ultimately, within a New Testament context, because it's such a very, very brief overview of the journey of worship of the people's relationship with God and how they express that love and thankfulness to Him into the New Testament of Jesus coming and becoming the ultimate sacrifice, laying down His life for all mankind, so that we don't have to go through the ritual of sacrifices anymore. That He who knew no sin became sin. And He died upon a cross and He took upon Himself all of our sins. And so Jesus took our place on the cross. We deserve to be up there for the wrongs that we have done. But Jesus did that for us, being the ultimate sacrifice to end all sacrifices for once and for all. And it's through Him that we can have a relationship with God now. And it's out of that relationship with God and that revelation of who God is that our heart of worship should begin to flow. And there's a story of Jesus encountering the woman and she's weeping and she wets His feet with her tears. She wipes His feet and they criticize the Pharisees and other people in the room criticize Jesus. Jesus says she loves much because she's been forgiven much. And I think sometimes for some of us in the room that we know we've been forgiven for a lot, it may be in some senses easier to love, can be harder to forget what we've done, but it can be easier to be, oh, I'm so thankful, God, you've forgiven me. For others in the room, if we've been a Christian for a while, it's very easy to get complacent about that and to forget how much God does love us. But ultimately, what are we called to do? How should our lives be how should we reflect worship to God in this in the New Testament context? For me, it's summed up in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy," you listening? "To offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. To offer your bodies as living sacrifices, to offer your whole life as a living sacrifice. This is our act of spiritual worship. So when we come together on a Sunday, it's part of our worship, but it's only a small part, because the majority of our worship to God is happening Monday to Sunday. And that's why Sunday is not the last day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. Because we come together and we've gone through the motions of a week, whatever that's looked like. We come together and we begin to worship God. We begin to say, God, I thank you. I praise you. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for healing me. Lord, I commit this challenge that I've got. And I begin to shift my focus from natural things onto our incredible, mighty, spiritual God. And then suddenly the things of this earth begin to grow strangely dim, as that beautiful hymn says, in the light of his glorious grace and his face. And so there's this shift that begins to happen. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of his people. And as we come together and we begin to worship God, and his presence is here with us, and his presence is in us by his grace, that something begins to stir in my heart as we worship. And that can cause me to respond to God in a variety of ways. And I am kind of on the softer side of marshmallowness. And I kind of, like, when I begin to worship God and I sense his presence, I either go quiet or I just begin to cry. And that's because I'm so aware of the presence of God. And then my heart out of that is like, oh, God, all I can do is just say, thank you, Jesus. It means so much to me, and it may mean nothing to you. And you'd have your own way of expressing praise and worship to God. But I just go, God, I just love you so much. I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care if I jump up and down, if I lift my hands, if I clap, if I kneel, or to my knees, will I fall? Will I be able to speak at all? As you know, that great song says, you know, when I stand before you, Jesus, you know, like in eternity, it's like, I'm not sure how I'm going to react. And we all react and respond in different ways. But there's something beautiful and wonderful when we get together and we begin to worship God. And then something begins to stir and shift in our spirits and our hearts and our lives. And we begin to get refreshed and realize, you know what I am facing is not as big as my God. It's not, you know, my God is so much bigger. My God is greater. My God is stronger than my circumstance. And I think for some of us, we forget. And as I was praying this week, I believe this is for people in this room. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds, 2 Corinthians tells us. And God has given us weapons such as prayer, such as the word, such as fasting, such as the ability to have faith and trust in him. But one of the other significant weapons that God has given us here on earth to get victory in this natural journey when we're battling against spiritual realms is the one of worship. And we can't underestimate the power of worship. That as you begin to shift from the focus of self onto the focus of God and begin to worship him and thank him, you realize worship's not about me. It's about me exalting and praising God. And because God loves us so much, he goes, I can't but help bless you. I can't but help give you the strength that you need. I can't but help give you the courage and the peace that you need. And for some of us, I think in the room, we've forgotten and go like, yeah, but I'm having such a hard time. That's when we're actually called to worship even more. And that's, I don't know, have you ever tried to worship when you're really angry and you start off going, God, I praise you, and God, I worship you, and God, I thank you that you're in the midst of this person, and even though they're an absolute idiot, God, I just thank you, Lord. I praise you for them, Lord. And if you persist, something begins to shift. You can't have a strong dislike for somebody and pray God's blessing and thank God for them and ask God to bless them and to stay angry for long. You can't. When you begin to sort of like, God, I'm giving it over to you. I just begin to worship. I'm going to see breakthrough in this situation, in my work situation. God, I thank you for this struggle. I thank you for this hard time. I thank you for it. Just something begins to shift and change. I think some of us in the room have forgotten the power of praise, the power of worship. And it's one of those weapons that we can use at different times to see breakthrough in our situation. And so this morning we're going to do that. We're going to worship together. We're going to spend some time worshiping and praising God. But before we do that, I thought it was fitting that we just have a time of communion together where we come around the Lord's table. Because more often than not, people sometimes have this attitude, you know what, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to come into God's presence. I don't feel like I'm good enough. If you just knew what I did this week, Phil, you would know that who am I to worship God? Again, the reality is none of us are worthy to worship God, but he's made the way for us to be worthy to worship him. And coming around the Lord's table like we are right now is one of those beautiful opportunities where we get to actually stop and examine our hearts before we go into a time of worship. On the night that Christ was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, I do this, this is my body which is broken for you, and I ask you to do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup and said, this is my blood that is being shed for you, and as often as you meet, do this in remembrance of me. And it goes on to say that in this moment, before we partake, and if the host team can pass these emblems out, that would be great. It says that we are called to actually take a moment to examine our hearts, that we don't do this in an unworthy manner, or that we don't do it in a light-hearted manner, that we don't take this for granted. And I think before we go into a time of worship this morning, this is a great thing that we can do just to position ourselves to have an encounter with God today. For us to be able to say, God, I thank you for your grace and mercy. Thanks, Joan. Happy birthday, Joan, by the way. Sure she's happy about me saying that. But this is just one of those moments where we can just get things right with God. Because statistics would say in a room like this, there are people that have struggled with something this week. That something has either happened that you have done or that has happened to you that has caused a response that is ungodly. Or there is an action that you've taken that you know in your heart is not pleasing to God. And it's in this moment that we're actually called to allow the Holy Spirit to bring that stuff to our remembrance and actually present it before God and say, God, I commit this to you. And Father, I just ask you to forgive me. As we take these emblems, and this is what they represent, the bitter biscuit represents Jesus' body, which was broken for us. And the juice represents the blood that was shed for us. And it's through the life, death, resurrection of Christ that we can have the forgiveness of sins. And it's in this moment that we're called to examine ourselves. And to be honest with ourselves. Don't try to hide anything from God in this moment. Because he knows it's there. What he's asking you to do is actually just to give it over to him. Say, God, I am so sorry. I receive your forgiveness this morning. Before I take part in this communion service, something that we don't take lightly, and if you're not comfortable in taking communion this morning, then that's totally okay. This is not something that we take lightly. But this is a wonderful opportunity for us just to present that stuff from throughout the week and to present it to the Lord and say, Father, before I go on to worship you, I want to be able to worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. Without that nagging, niggling thought in the back of my head, without that thing just being there, in the next 15 minutes, I just want to worship you with all my heart in spirit and in truth. This is preparation for us to be able to do that. And it's all because of what Jesus Christ has done for us upon the cross. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Holy Spirit, this morning, as we sit, as emblems are still being passed around, but as we sit, I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would bring things to our remembrance. It's not that you want to condemn us for those things, because it says, Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And Jesus, you said that it's in our weakness that you want your strength to be made perfect. So if we're open and honest right now, Lord God, with those areas of struggle, with the areas of failure from this week, I just give it over to you, Lord. Why don't you do that right now? Before we partake, let's just examine our hearts today. Say, Lord, I give that over to you right now. I receive your forgiveness. And I partake this morning, and I do this, Lord Jesus, in remembrance of you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're working and you're moving in this room right now. That you're not here to condemn, Jesus. You didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that through you, Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be saved. So I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that we would be, as your people, we would be open to you. Just highlighting areas of our life that we need to submit to you right now. We need to consecrate. We need to give over to you right now. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Just before we partake, I just want to read this again. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup." So, Father, this morning, as we've taken this moment just to allow you, Holy Spirit, to search the corridors of our hearts and lives, I pray that we would hold nothing back from you, but we just lay it all down before you right now, before we partake, that we would truly surrender all in Jesus' name. We thank you this morning, Jesus, for your forgiveness. We thank you for your grace that you're extending in this room right now to each one of us. We don't deserve it, but we thank you for it. So when you're ready this morning, why don't you take that bit of biscuit? We do this in remembrance of him. And let's do it thanking him for saving us. Same with the juice. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. If we just pass the cups to the end of the aisles, and we're just going to stand, we're just going to begin to worship. You know, this morning, I have a deep sense. It's great to talk about worship, but nothing beats actually worshiping. This morning we've talked about worship, but now it's time for us to actually do it. For some of us in the room, pray right now that maybe those words that about worship being a spiritual weapon that God's given us to see breakthrough in our situation. I was praying for us this morning, and I really believe there are people in this room, as you press into worship this morning, despite your circumstance, that things are going to begin to change, because you're going to begin to activate and use one of the spiritual weapons that God has given us. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty, mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. As you begin to proclaim God's goodness in your life, as you begin to thank God for his faithfulness, thank God that he's the almighty, wonderful God, as you begin to worship him, after us taking communion right now, we can worship him in spirit and in truth, without guilt, without condemnation. God's forgiven you. Maybe you need to forgive yourself and just be free this morning. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. And he inhabits the praises of his people. I believe God's going to begin to move in our midst this morning in a new and a fresh way. Today is not a worship service. Today is the start, I believe, of something fresh and new in the life of our church. I believe that God wants to reveal things to people in this room this morning about the power and the authority of worship. We worship you today, Lord Jesus. Come on, church. Let's just begin to worship him.
Come on, church, in your own words, begin to express that worship to the Lord. Lift up your hearts, your passion. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Oh Lord. I exalt thee. I exalt to proclaim that we exalt thee, we exalt thee, worship you. We exalt thee, we exalt thee, we exalt thee, oh Lord, we exalt you, we exalt. This place, God, as you walk among our midst, we surrender and hand over to you, Lord God. Lord, do not hold back. Don't hold out on me, Lord Jesus. I want your passion. Release passion. Release freedom, God. Release revelation in this place right now, God. In this place right now, Lord, as we give over to you, as we hand over to you, Lord Jesus. Release true meaning of worship and adoration. Let it be expressed in this place. When the music fades and all has drifted away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's worth, that will bless your heart. When the music fades, when the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's worth, that will bless your heart. I bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. Sing, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Oh, it's all about you. King of endless worth, and no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself, it's not what you have required. You
search much deeper within.
Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. We're coming back to the heart of when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to you, heart. I'm sorry, Lord, for things I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. You know, in the Old Testament, they used to bring the sacrifice, the offering to the temple. Only the priests were allowed to go into the Holy Holies, where the presence of God was, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. And people would bring their sacrifices, they'd lay them down on the altar. And we've been called to bring our lives as a living sacrifice and to lay it down. And today we can do that. And every Sunday when we get together, as our active part of our act of worship is to just to lay our lives down afresh to Him. I guess the thing is, the challenge with a living sacrifice is that it can crawl off the altar, doesn't want to stay there. We don't want to die to self, and yet it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And this morning, before we go any further, I'd love for us, just in your way, whatever that looks like for you, maybe you want to kneel. We've just read a whole bunch of different ways that people have expressed worship: clapping, shouting, cheering, music, dancing. Lots of different ways. But before we go back into the music, I'd love for us just to take a moment just to lay our lives down on that altar this morning, figuratively speaking, just saying, God, I lay my life down afresh to you today. God, I just lay myself down. And that's why we have this area out the front at church, and it's called an altar call, where we give people the opportunity to come and be prayed for. And it's like a modern day version of an altar, where we can just lay our burdens down, lay our sickness down. We can lay our troubles down. We can lay our opportunities down before the Lord, lay our lives down before Him and have people pray for us. And it's where I pray by the Spirit of God, where we get altered at the altar. And we leave this place better. We leave lighter. We leave freer. And that can happen anywhere in this building. But this morning, I just ask, as we stand in the presence of our Almighty God, that we don't have to be a high priest anymore to go into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, but Jesus has made a way for us to enter into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. And for us to enter in, it's just a matter of laying our lives down and saying, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you everything. That's everything. 95% is 5% short, church. Jesus gave his all so we could experience his all. Just pray this morning we could just take this moment of reverence, and as we stand in our God's presence, thank you, Holy Spirit, you are here. Your presence is here. Praise you, Jesus. We hold nothing back. We don't want to go through the motions right now, Father. We don't want to just sing songs. We don't want to just pay you lip service. Speak a whole bunch of like Christian words and sing these songs without our heart, Lord God. Without doing this in spirit and in truth this morning, Father, I pray. I believe that God wants to heal people in this place as we worship this morning. As we stand in his presence, God is wanting to do you good. Maybe for you, you need to step out in faith. You need to activate this weapon of worship and praise in your life. And maybe for you, you've never lifted your hands before. It's in Scripture. I'm not making it up. Maybe you've never sung out loud before. And for you today, that's going to be your step of faith. Maybe for you, you want to kneel where you're at. Maybe you want to come to the front and just kneel in the presence of God. And the words, particularly the emphasis in Old and New Testament, is this sense of being prostrate before the Lord, laying down flat on your face because you're in awe of this holy God. Whatever your expression of worship is this morning, God, we just want to be a place, Father God, that attracts your presence. We're hungry for you. We're desperate for you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Let this be a sacrifice. Let me dedicate my life to worship you. Won't you let this be a sacrifice? Let me dedicate my life to worship you. Won't you let this be a sacrifice? Let me dedicate my life to worship you. Won't you let this be a sacrifice? Let me dedicate my life to worship you. Your presence, a lover of your presence, a lover of your presence. Oh, Lord. I'm a lover of your presence. Oh,
A passion stirring deep inside. You're all that really satisfies. We worship you. Our passion stirring deep inside. You're all that really satisfies. We worship you. Oh, Lord, we're lovers of your presence. We're lovers of your presence. We're lovers of your presence. And it's all we want to be. We're lovers of your presence. We're lovers of your presence. We're lovers of your presence. And it's all we want to be. We're lovers of your presence. We're lovers of your presence. We're lovers of your presence. And it's all we want to be. We're lovers of your presence. We're lovers of your presence. We're lovers of your presence. And it's all we want to be. And I was made for love. I was made for love. I was made for loving you. Jesus, I was made for love. I was made for love. I was made for loving you. And I was made for love. I was made for love. I was made for loving you. I was made for love. I was made for love. I was made for loving you.
Church, let that sink in. Let it go deeper into your spirit. Into the depth of our hearts.
Praise you, Jesus. We're going to continue worshiping, but if you need to go, then we understand that, but I don't believe that God's finished us yet. Just want to say next week we're doing Why Not in the area of the supernatural. And like I believe it's time for us as a church to step out a little bit. Step out in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so as a church, next week, we're going to believe for miracles next Sunday. So I want to encourage you to invite your friends, invite people that you know maybe need a miracle in their situation, whether it's a physical miracle, an emotional, a relational miracle. If they need a miracle, a breakthrough in their life, then I encourage you to bring them along next Sunday morning. And we're just going to be believing, and we're just going to pray with people and believe that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. Same God who healed in the centuries gone by, the same God that's healing around the world today is going to heal next Sunday morning. He's going to break through in people's situations like never before. Believing for a manifest presence of God in this place, that God would be glorified and that God would be honored. And if you want to join me this week in some way and just praying and fasting, if you can fast, you know, a day or two or whatever, or for the whole week, whatever, or fast something this coming week in preparation for next Sunday, we're calling it Supernatural Sunday. And again, it's not a one-off, but I believe like this morning is going to be, it's going to be a catalyst for just the supernatural breakthrough power of God to be manifest in our midst as a church. Because I don't know about you, I don't want to be part of a powerless church. Our God is all-powerful, He's almighty. He's the King of kings, He's the Lord of lords. His arm is not short that it cannot heal. That we are called to be a people of faith, a people of boldness, a people of courage. Called to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So if you're able to this week, just to be praying, let's storm heaven this week, believing that next Sunday, God's going to move in a significant way in people's lives. Step out in faith and maybe invite somebody that needs a breakthrough in their situation. But next Sunday is Supernatural Sunday. The following week, we've got our guest speaker coming, Tony Hunt, for Life Story Sunday. It's going to be another great Sunday. But if you need to go, then you go. But, you know, I'm always fascinated when I know that I have a hard week just trying to put a message together, and I know that when I'm preaching, it's almost like I'm up against something. I don't know if it makes sense, but for me, I know I don't battle against flesh and blood, but it's principalities and powers. Even preaching this morning, if I'm completely honest, it was just like I'm hitting a brick wall. That's got nothing to do with you guys. It's just what I discern in the spirit. And I'm just going, I'm not going to let that brick wall stop us as a church moving forward for me. And I pray this morning for you personally, for your life, for your family, for your work situation, whatever it is. You wouldn't allow whatever wall is standing in your way to stop you from stepping into what God's got for you. We want to see those walls come down. Joshua, you know, with Jericho, what did God call him to do? Stay silent, but on the seventh day, make a joyful noise. Shout and watch the walls of Jericho come crumbling down. We're going to continue to worship. I believe those walls are going to come down. I'm going to just keep pressing in with you this morning. But, you know, I don't care if I'm the last person in this room, but I'm going to press in. I'm going to press forward. I'm going to keep pushing in until I feel like that wall, until I sense that that wall has come down. Because I believe that God has so much more for us as a church than what we've experienced yet. This ain't it. There is so much more. But the heavens suffer violence and the violent take it by force. We've got to get on the front foot sometimes. It takes effort to clap, to sing, to shout. Amen. It takes effort. The devil doesn't know what you're thinking, but he can hear what you've got to say.
Yeah.
You can begin to declare that my God is greater. Amen. Devil's trying to put a lid on your life. He's trying to suffocate you. He's trying to strangle you. He's trying to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. But we can lift up with the very breath that God has given us this morning. We can lift up a song of praise. We can place our God above our situation. We can place our God in His rightful place. Let's let the devil know this morning where he belongs. He belongs under our feet in Jesus' name.
That's right.
Lord Jesus, we claim victory in this house this morning. For individuals right now in Jesus' name, we speak breakthrough in Jesus' name. Let the walls come down in Jesus' name as we worship and as you inhabit the praises of your people. Holy Spirit, right now you're released to go. Do whatever you want in this place.
In this place, Lord.
We exalt you. Come on, church, let's just begin to lift up our voices. Maybe it's something you haven't done before, but it's going to be a step of faith for you this morning. Just begin to lift up your voice and tell God how good He is. Let the devil know who you worship. You don't have a small God. You've got a great God. We've got the greatest God. And if our God is for us, who can be against us? We lift up our voice this morning to let the heavens declare. We join with the host of angels and we say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He is worthy to be praised. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke the enemy. Let God arise in this place and let the enemy be scattered in Jesus' name. Lord, let the Spirit of the Lord bring liberty in this place this morning. Let chains be broken. Let walls come down. Let liberty, let freedom come to the house. Let freedom come to the house in Jesus' name. We worship you, Lord God, this morning. Praise you, Jesus. God bless you. Have a great week, but we're just going to keep worshiping God.
The Lord is. There is.
freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Oh, lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. Lift your eyes to heaven. There is freedom. Oh, freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. Sing freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Oh, showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. If you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. If you're tired and thirsty, oh, there is freedom in this place. Yeah. Give your all to Jesus. There is freedom. Only you can set me free. Give your all to Jesus. There is freedom. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Freedom reigns in this place. Oh, your showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. Come on, let's sing. Jesus reigns in this place. Jesus reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. Come on, let's declare it. Jesus reigns. Jesus reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace, and we're falling on every face. There is freedom. Come on, let's begin to experience the freedom from God right now.
Jesus reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. Jesus reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. Jesus reigns in this place. Let your showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom, freedom, freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. There is freedom in you. There is freedom in you, Lord. Set me free to know you. Set me free to worship you. Set me free. I want to be free. Free to love you. Free to honor you. Free to adore you. Free to know you. Oh, you in this place, Lord. I want to know you. There is freedom.
Praise you, Jesus. Just for sense this morning, just as we're worshiping, that somebody here got a throat problem. It's more than just a sore throat, and I believe that God wants to hear you this morning. Somebody else, like, just in your neck and on the right side particularly, that you just got like this issue, pain, stiffness, whatever it might be, that God is just wanting to heal you this morning. So if that's you, I just want you just to hold your hands out in front of God this morning, and just almost like you're about to receive a gift. And I believe that's just going to be a gift. God has got for you a gift of healing, and just with that throat issue and just with that neck, shoulder thing. But this morning, I'm just going to pray just a simple prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we speak healing this morning. We speak to this throat condition. We command it to be called into order in the name of Jesus. We speak healing. No more pain, no more inflammation. Lord God, laryngitis, pharyngitis, whatever it might be, Lord God, a tendency towards that. But Lord, we speak against it. We take authority over it in Jesus' name. And we just speak healing for this neck, shoulder issue, Lord God, on the right-hand side. Lord God, you know exactly who it is right now in this room. Lord Jesus, you're not in the business of embarrassing, but you just want to do people good today. So in the name of Jesus, I speak healing to that neck. Let it be restored, and I pray that we could give you glory and praise. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. You know, church, I just reminded the story of Moses meeting the tent of meeting, and he would leave, but Joshua would stay. Moses would head off to do what he had to do, but Joshua would stay because he just loved the presence of God. I pray we would be that kind of people, lovers of the presence of God, hungry, desperate for the presence of God. It's where we belong, church. It's in His presence there is fullness of joy, and His presence is everything that we need. Sometimes we stop just that little bit short, just short of a breakthrough, I believe. And this morning, I believe that as you just continue to press in. This isn't just trying to elongate a meeting for the sake of it. I believe that something supernatural is happening in this room this morning. That as you've stayed and as you press in, as you continue to worship, get out of your comfort zone. Never ceases to amaze me how excited people get about random things, whether it's horse racing, football, Grand Prix, whatever. And yet we can be so restrained when it comes to worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's going to look different for all of us. But this morning, if you feel limited, I want to ask you why. What is it that stops you from worshiping this morning? The style of music, the sound you hear, it's not to impress you, it's not to please you, it's all for God. It's not about me. It's not about whether I like the style of music or not. It's just whether I want to worship God. I can use it as a means of expressing my love and care and adoration for my great God. It's not about me. If you hold back, why do you hold back? Because we've just sung about freedom. God wants you to be free this morning. He wants you to be free to worship Him without any restrictions. That you can breathe. Just know, I'm free. I'm so free this morning. See it like Collins just said, just let it go. Just let it go this morning. Just hand it over, just let it go. Say, God, I give over the limitations. I give over those things that are holding me back. We break those chains. We break those bonds. Those things that are holding people back this morning. Lord God, we break them in Jesus' name. That we would be free to worship You. We are worshipers. We are lovers of our God. We don't care what people think or say. I'm more worried about what You think of me, Lord God, than what other people think of me. Because as for me and my house, we will worship You, God. We will worship You. We will not conform to the pattern of this world. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind as Your Holy Spirit comes and transforms us and releases us to be freer worshipers. I speak freedom into the life of Compass Church this morning. We speak it out today in Jesus' name. Freedom, growing freedom, a growing liberty, greater release of worshiping hearts and spirits in this place. We worship You, Jesus. Just begin to lift up Your voice. It says time and time again in the book of Psalms, I'll sing a new song to the Lord. It's not about whether you can sing in tune or not. It's just about lifting up Your voice and just begin to sing, God, I worship You this morning. Jesus, I worship You. We honor You, Jesus. Lift up your voice and sing to God this morning. We worship You, Jesus. We worship You, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, we worship You, Jesus. Lord God, we are free to worship You this morning. Exalt You, Jesus, in this place. Jesus, my Jesus, I worship You. Jesus, we worship You. We worship You. We worship You, Jesus. Jesus, we are free, freer than ever can be. Jesus, Jesus, we love You. Jesus, we love You. We adore You, Lord. Jesus, You are the one. God's only Son,
Jesus, we worship you. That's it.
We honor you, Jesus.
We get lost in your presence.
Praise you, Jesus, Jesus.
Exalt you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord, that we would worship you as David danced before you, Lord God, in an undignified way, just in a linen ephod almost, Lord God, almost see-through, almost naked, dancing, not caring what people would think. And he said, I'll be even more undignified than this. That, Lord God, I pray that we could have that level of boldness, that level of reckless abandon to worship you. Jesus, there is freedom. There is breakthrough when we worship. Praise. Praise the power of heaven. Praise as we join in the angels. Join with the angels. Sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Join in that chorus, in harmony with that. We align ourselves with the will and the purpose of heaven so that God's will in heaven will be done here on earth. Done through us as we get in sync, as we get in unison with the heartbeat of God. And it can happen through worship, church. It can happen. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
Great are you, Lord, mighty in strength. You are faithful, and you will ever be. We will praise you all of our days. It's for your glory. We offer everything. Raise your hands, all you nations. Shout to God, oh creation. How awesome is the Lord Most High. We will praise you together, for now and forever. How awesome is the Lord Most High. Where you send us, God, we will go. You're the answer we want the world to know. We
we will trust you when you call our name. Where you lead us, we'll follow all the way. Raise your hands, all you nations. Shout to God, all creation. How awesome is the Lord Most High. We will praise you together for now and forever. How awesome is the Lord Most High. Raise your hands. Raise your hands, all you nations. Shout to God, all creation. How awesome is the Lord Most High. We will praise you together for now and forever. How awesome is the Lord Most High. Let's sing.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
How awesome is the Lord Most High. Come on, lift your voice.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
How awesome is the Lord Most High. Come on, let me hear you shout it out.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah. How awesome is the Lord Most High. Raise your hands. Raise your hands, all you nations. Shout to God, all creation. How awesome is the Lord Most High. We will praise you together for now and forever. How awesome is the Lord Most High.
Come on, let's lift up a shout of praise. On that note, thank you. Amen.